Hello, and welcome to another edition of Cult Conversations. I am your host, Dan Lashley, along with my co-host, Aaron Lashley.
Hello.
Yes, and today we're going to finish up our two-parter here on the Dependables. Now, if you remember the last time we had our first six names, which were David Heavener, Ted Pryor, Sandahl Bergman, Urbano Barberini. Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay, close enough. Don the Dragon Wilson and Fred the Hammer Williamson. Now we have our last six, and this should make up the whole team here. And I guess I'll go ahead and start first with Cynthia Rockrock. Now, Cynthia, known for a lot of these bad action films in the late 80s and early 90s. If you didn't know, she holds six black belts. It's pretty impressive. I have one black belt. It's actually more of a brown belt, but it holds my pants up pretty well. In 84, she was signed to Golden Harvest, where she made movies for several years before she was big enough to make it over here in the United States. Now, most people will know Cynthia's movies such as like the China O'Brien series, or the one I want to talk about here momentarily. This is one called Undefeatable. This is a Godfrey Ho movie, so you automatically know that it is complete and utter shit, but it's entertaining shit, I think. What do you think, Aaron?
Is that the one where the guy loses his eyes and they say a bunch of bad puns and everyone in town knows Kung Fu?
Well, yeah, that's the one.
That movie is awesome.
If you don't, there's a clip on YouTube. If you look up like one of the worst action scenes ever, it's been viewed millions of times, where this guy is fighting Cynthia and this other doofy looking guy, and in the process of fighting them, this bad guy ends up losing both his eyeballs, and then there's these terrible puns. And seek it out on YouTube. I'm sure you'll find it. As she said, it's everybody in this town knows some martial arts, like from the gang members down to the waitresses, down to the guys taking your bus ticket, down to the homeless guy that's pissed off because you can give him 35 cents in change so he can buy himself some Ripple. Undefeatable is about Cynthia Rockrock. She has a gang of thugs, and she does fighting for money. And the bad guy here, he snaps because his wife wants to leave him or something like that. I don't remember a whole lot about it. I was a little drunk at the time. Big shock, right? And he starts murdering these women because he thinks they look like her. I guess having giant teased hair in the early 90s is pretty much the touch of death for people in this town. So when Cynthia's sister gets killed, you know, she goes out and takes revenge, beats up people, and that's pretty much every Cynthia Rockrock movie ever made, I think.
She did a really good one. It was her debut. It was called, she's done a lot of bad movies, but there's one that I do enjoy called Yes, Ma'am, that she made with Michelle Yeoh. And it also had Sammo Hung, Richard Ng, Fat Chung, Fruit Chan, and was directed by Corey Yoon. And there was some bumbling thieves that somehow got involved with some really nasty murderers. And Michelle Yeoh was a cop that thought she had it under control, but whoever was in charge thought that she didn't, and they sent in Cynthia Rothrock, who's from 85.
We should see that.
So that's what I think of when I think of Cynthia Rothrock.
That's probably a good idea.
It's an awesome movie. So, you know, we don't want to taint her completely with, what's his name?
With Godfrey Ho. No.
Because she did have some legitimate films. Yes,
well,
ma'am.
Well, she was pretty big over there in Hong Kong for a while.
She was big in America, I think, among people who liked crappy 90s action movies, at least in the video store where I was working.
She was making money for the direct-to-video market, that's what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that's commendable, I think. So, Cynthia Rockrock, there's a dependable for you. All
right. Damn right.
Damn right, indeed. And now, I'll go to you for your selection.
Okay, so, if you're familiar with the Snake Eater series...
Who isn't?
Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh, yeah.
He's dependable to sort of be able to fight.
Sort of.
But he's the most sneering, like, secondhand embarrassment-looking adolescent. I've never seen such an awkward, good-looking man. Like, I think it was you that said that in Greece that he was playing himself and not a character.
Yeah, I think that was, like, the most realistic portrayal of himself in the movie, I think.
And so the scorn with which he holds all of the villains in the Snake Eater series, and I think there's more than one sequence where he blows somebody up on the toilet.
Yes, yes, there is.
That happened in part one and part two.
Mm-hmm.
It's my dream to see him in a film with David Heavener. They both like to play Vietnam veterans, despite having been born in 1958.
Yes.
And Lorenzo Lamas, he's a tough guy, but he could also fulfill the computer hacker that has glasses on, and then at the end of the movie he takes them off, and surprise, he's hot.
I'd hit that.
And then, of course, he had the kickboxing skills.
Yes.
And the skills to look like an alcoholic who liked to kickbox.
Oh, that would
fight
be,
for money.
That would be the movie Final Impact.
Final Impact. What did you remember most about Final Impact?
Well, I remember he got his ass kicked a lot. That was one thing.
See what I mean? He's kind of a everyman.
He was like a better looking Mickey from Rocky, or kind of mixed with the Apollo, except, you know, he dies. Like, oh, I spoiled that, didn't I? He dies in the movie. Sorry.
Apollo died.
Apollo died in Rocky 4.
Wasn't that Rocky 5 or whatever?
4. It's Rocky 4.
Okay.
I must break you.
Right. Okay.
Dolph Lundgren. He should have been a dependable. I don't know why we didn't pick him.
Because he's in the Expendables.
Oh, that's right.
That's why.
Damn you, Sly.
Yeah. So anyway, Lorenzo Lamas, we kind of forgive you for the TV show where you pointed a laser pointer at people who weren't as blessed with looks as you are. Because of the Snake Eater series, which has brought us so much joy.
Yeah, you know, you acted with Ron Palillo, so, you know, I can understand.
Ron Palillo as Torchy the Pyromaniac.
Torchy the Pyro. And then in part two, a guy that played Lamar in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah.
Played, like, some, I don't know about badass guy, but, you know, like somebody was trying to take the law into his own hands. And
sidekick.
And I just kept expecting Wormser to show up to help him. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Probably is just me. Isn't it?
Too bad.
Too bad.
Would have liked to see Wormser maybe in one of the insane asylum sections of the film.
Yeah, Snake Eater 2. I'd had to mention this. And I posted one of these. If you ever watched my mixtape series, the Candy Colored Nightmares, or our mixtape series, I should say, I include the scene where he's escaping this mental ward through the air ducts, and along the way he like runs into like two or three people. I think it was two people,
mm-hmm.
like coming into like the second person was a Domino's delivery guy with a pizza,
and there was a hooker.
There was a hooker. That's yeah.
They also had a wheelchair rooftop gladiator scene in that film.
Oh yeah, that was pretty badass. I liked that one.
And let's not forget that Lorenzo Lamas did a Break-In ripoff where he actually didn't dance. And you gotta be...
Was that Body Rock? Was that
I think
was
so.
Yeah.
He was Chili D. You gotta be pretty charismatic to be hired as the lead in a dance movie and not dance.
We have to see Body Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may have that somewhere around here. All right, well...
So that makes him dependable.
Such
a good dancer, he doesn't have to demonstrate that he can dance.
That's right, and the ability to look stupid at a moment's notice.
But to look really good doing it.
That's right.
In this town, if you want justice, you have to take it. Cynthia Rothrock as Christy Jones.
Hey! Ah!
searching for a man who murdered her sister. An undefeatable champion, driven by insanity.
What are you doing with my wife?
If he can't have Anna, he'll kill anyone who even reminds him of her.
Come on, tough guy!
Sergeant Nick DeMarco knows his name.
Breathe.
Christy Jones is determined to find the killer.
You're crazy. My name's not Anna.
But every wasted minute costs another life.
I'm talking about my sister. Your ass is mine.
Big mistake. Red.
Bitch! Before you ruin my mood!
Why are you hurting me?
Shockwave rocked the city.
You're gonna start another gang war.
Well, I tried to wait for you, but they jumped us.
You've got a lot to learn about police work.
Nick and Christy team up.
It's all your fault.
Jennifer, run!
With the help of a beautiful psychologist, Christy and Nick unite in a fight for supremacy. It will take every ounce of muscle, every skill, every technique to end the fatal desire of this madman.
My next pick for a dependable is, I gotta admit, it's one of my favorites. Most people know that I enjoy wrestling. They mock me for it sometimes. They throw rocks at me. I cry a little bit. But it's okay. It's okay. I still like wrestling. And one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is my next dependable, the one and only Rowdy Roddy Piper. Best known for They Live, the John Carpenter movie, where he was, I think that was pretty much his best role there. He started out doing a film called Body Slam, which was a comedy starring Dirk Benedict. It's a movie. I like it. I mean, I like it. It's cheesy fun, but it's just, Piper did not have his acting boots on that day. They Live, I think, was the first instance of him actually showing that he can actually act. Another movie that came out around the same time was Hell Comes to Frogtown. And I really like this one. This is the one I actually saw before They Live. It's only recently I saw They Live. I know, it's very shocking. But I remember seeing Hell Comes to Frogtown on USA. I don't know if it might have been up all night. I mean, it's possible. And then I know I rented the tape out and watched it. And it's just, I like post-apocalypse movies anyway, like Mad Max and stuff. And this is along the same line, but it's a comedy. It's an action comedy where Piper plays Sam Hell, and fellow dependable Sondel Bergman is in that one. I'm sure I probably butchered that name, but that's okay. And I think he did a really good job there. I think there was that period in the late 80s where he was getting pretty decent work, and then eventually just became just a straight-to-video action star, which there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think so. Do you think?
No, not at all. I live for that shit.
Oh, okay. Well, and that's going to bring me to this next movie that we got recently for free as a VHS tape, because we collect VHS tapes and we have a pretty decent collection here. And this is a movie called Immortal Kombat. Now, this movie, this one, it stars Piper along with Sonny Chiba, which is kind of a weird combination because Chiba doesn't really speak very good English, but it's passable. Also in this movie is Tiny Lister, and you expect him to be the villain, but he's not. The villain, the main bad guy in this movie, this immortal bastard, is played by the guy that played Malibu on The American Gladiators. Yes, that guy. Go look him up. Just take a look and just see what a douchebag this guy looks like. But it's an incredibly fun movie. It's got all the action cliches in it. It's about, if I can remember this right, it was about like a serum or something. Like this bad guy was creating the serum of all these indestructible fighters. And I guess he was recruiting or whatever, and Piper went to this island to find out what was going on. I remember Meg Foster being in it, too.
She was the big female badass in the movie. And they rode around in golf carts a lot, trying to make the place look bigger than it was, I think.
Yes.
And people got set on fire.
That's always a plus. I know Tiny Lister got turned into a bad guy, but like a reluctant bad guy. So it was kind of, you know, you were sad for it.
Weren't they making him immortal unless they got set on fire?
Yeah, I think they had captured him. And
there may have been a woman that was a reporter.
The plot kind of stole a little bit from Blood Fist 2, I think, where they, like, kidnapped all those people.
Forced to fight?
Yeah, like a forced to fight kind of thing.
That is a definite trope in the direct-to-video action genre.
Well, obviously with the name, like, Immortal Kombat, you think. But anyway, Piper's done a few more movies since then. I know he's done a few with Billy Blanks, and there was one he did with Don the Dragon. Was it Terminal Velocity?
It was horrible. He had black. Oh, no. He had a raccoon mask.
Yeah, he took off his face. Yeah, he took off his sunglasses, and then he had like the, you know, raccoon eyes
for
the entire thing.
Their big plan was to take over a dam. They held the dam hostage.
It was awful.
And he was the bad guy. Piper was the bad guy.
But he played a good bad guy. I liked it. He was the second in command.
He was the best thing about the movie.
Yeah, he was. But that's my selection. I want to pick the rowdy one, Roddy Piper. I would use him in a movie right away. I would.
I'd like to meet him.
Yes. All right.
Okay, so my next dependable is somebody that was famous in Hong Kong, but not a household name in the United States, to the point that he didn't, like some of his friends, pick an American name. I believe it's pronounced Yoon Bio, which is the way it sounded when he said it in an interview. It's embarrassing for me. I watch tons of these Hong Kong movies, but I kind of have to say their names in my head and imagine how they would be said because I don't speak Cantonese.
Oh, I totally butcher them, so it's just like, here's Yoon Bio!
So Yoon Bio, he was in school to learn to do martial arts and acting with Jackie Chan and Sammo Hung. He was their good friend.
Yeah, there was a group of them together, right, that ended up making a bunch of movies together?
They were called The Seven Little Fortunes. See, I watch those movies all the time, but there's so much information I don't know.
I think you're right on that, The Seven Little Fortunes.
If you knew who this guy was, he would have been, most people would know him as their friend in Wheels on Meals.
That's a really good one. I think it's an underrated one.
That's a good one. And he was in some of the Twinkle Twinkle Lucky Stars. But what I love him for, and I found myself watching these three movies over and over, The Prodigal Son, Knockabout, and Dreadnought. And in each of these, he plays the same type of character. He's a guy that doesn't know how to fight. And he's a real cute little guy, doesn't have a problem acting goofy, making himself look goofy. And in, especially in Dreadnought, it turns out that he actually does know how to fight because of a repetitive motion that he's been doing, wringing out laundry, because that's his family's kung fu.
Okay.
And he has to fight a psychopath in that movie. Often is paired with Brian Leung, who they also call Beardy, who, he could be a dependable on his own, but,
with a name like Beardy.
Trying to think. Knockabout, the two of them play brothers that are trying to run some kind of scam, and they run up on a real psycho, and then Sammo Hung helps out, Yoon Bio at the end.
I remember seeing that with you.
They act like monkeys, and they do some kung fu with a jump rope, and Yoon Bio does a bunch of flips on top of a table. He's a real acrobatic guy. That's his specialty.
Right.
And then, of course, the prodigal son was the one where he thought that he could fight because he was a nobleman whose dad had been paying everyone in town to lose to him until he ran up on an actual badass.
Yes, a badass that was dressed in drag.
That's right. Yes, because Lam Ching Ying from Mr. Vampire ended up training him in that movie.
Well, he was, he played a geisha in a kind of like a carnival, or not carnival, but like a circus.
Chinese opera.
A Chinese opera, is that what?
Yeah,
okay, my bad.
It was back when all the actors were men,
mm-hmm.
just like in Shakespeare, I think.
So he was a little bit effeminate, but he was a really damn good kung fu, was it kung fu? I don't know, whichever martial arts.
And also Sammo Hung trained him in that one, and using calligraphy and chickens. But
yes.
The Prodigal Son is a good movie, not just a good action movie. It has a good story.
It's not a cheesy action chop socky kind of movie that I usually end up watching. It's an actual real good film, and I've seen it several times with Erin. She's the one that turned me onto that, and I really really enjoyed it.
But Knockabout and Dreadnought, they're not good movies. I mean, they're good if you like fighting. But I came to the realization watching these two movies that these kung fu movies are put together the same way as porn movies. Most of the time, there's no plot. The plot is just to serve to get you to the next fight. So you could take out the fights and put in sex scenes, and it'd be the same damn movie.
I don't know if I could watch it for longer than 5-10 minutes at a time then, but... But I guess that could work. Like a porno kung fu film, that would be interesting.
I'm sure
thing.
That there was one in the 90s
I'm
in Hong Kong.
I'm going to have to seek that one out, I'm telling you.
But it's the same thing. So if you want to get into screenwriting, martial arts movies, if you're a dumbass that doesn't know how to write, because you don't need much of a plot, you just need a choreographer.
Yeah, instead of horror movies where most of them seem to be nowadays.
Masters!
What do these things want, and why are they here?
You still don't get it, do you, boy?
They have recruited the rich and the powerful!
They're running the whole show.
Wake up! They're all about you, all around you! Blinded us to the truth!
Take a look.
They are safe, as long as they are not discovered.
I don't know what they are or where they came from, but we gotta stop them!
Stay away from me!
Put these on!
They have us!
Look at them! They're everywhere!
We have no other choice.
I don't like this one bit.
Leave it alone, man. It ain't none of my business. Ain't none of yours.
We have been lulled into a trance.
Listen to what I'm saying to you.
We're in trouble. The whole world's in trouble.
Control us!
You're sending some kind of signals on TV sets.
I've got one that can see.
Mama don't like tattletale.
Now we start spilling some blood.
Let's go!
Push a button.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Our last pick, well, my last pick, I should say, for the Dependables, is somebody that I actually mentioned earlier. I wanted to have a little more international flavor as well, even though with our last induction there. So I decided on Sonny Chiba. Now, Sonny Chiba, for those who don't know, is most likely, it's most known for the Street Fighter series. The Street Fighter, I think Revenge of the Street Fighter, Sister Street Fighter Does Vegas, and various other movies that had the Street Fighter in it. I think Street Fighter Takes Manhattan, I think was one. He was in that. He was also in movies such as Legend of the Eight Samurai, which had like this really over-the-top American song that I know you like the song, isn't it? Was Was it from Legend of the Eight Samurai?
It was. I'm trying to remember how it went. It was a power ballad.
I'm gonna play it at the end of the episode. I'm gonna close this out with that because I think it's definitely
considered the most romantic song in Japan, or was for a long time. The people just really loved it.
And now the most romantic song is I don't have a joke for that. Anyways, Sonny Chiba also done films like Karate Bullfighter, Karate Bear Fighter. I'm sure he probably beat up several other of the animal species. Recently, or the last 10, 15 years or so, he had a little resurgence of such due to Quentin Tarantino and being in the Kill Bill movies. And also, I think he worked on recently Battle Royale 2. So, I'm a big Sonny Chiba fan. He was also in the Mortal Kombat movie, which was, you know, with Roddy Piper, and he... I could see why he didn't quite cross over into American audience there, just the lack of the English. What do you think of Sonny?
He's a badass, stone cold badass. When I think of him, I think of the Street Fighter movies. I mean, they're just ridiculous, and he just keeps going.
He does. Another movie that he was in, I haven't seen it yet, but I've always been a fan of the anime and the comic books and stuff of it, as Gogol 13. And some of you here, or if you grew up in the NES age, recognize that from there was an NES Gogol 13 NES game as well. But I didn't put the two together until then. But the Street Fighter movies, I think, are a definite must-watch for anyone that's a fan of the genre. It did make him a household name here in America in the 70s. And it's very violent. Very, very violent. I think a guy gets his testicles ripped off.
Yes, that's what I think of when I think of Street
Fighter
movies.
You think of testicles ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to think of
and
having
that,
my testicles ripped
that
off.
That girl, the sidekick.
Oh, yeah.
She's real annoying, and then something bad happens to her, and you feel bad for having been annoyed by her.
I didn't. Not at all.
Okay.
It's just like, yeah, you had it coming. I'm kind of an asshole that way.
Yeah, but yes, they're real violent.
But, I mean, it's, you know, Sonny's a little, he's different than I think a lot of the others, because most of the kung fu and the action that you see are all coming from Hong Kong, so it's not as often as you hear about these guys from Japan being a badass martial artist, and Sonny is a badass. I'm sure he could probably kick my ass to this day and make me cry like a little bitch.
Yeah, the only other one I can even think of off the top of my head is the guy that played the blind swordsman and also the detective with the big dick. I can't remember the name of the actor, but
Columbo?
No, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
He played Zaitochi and then, you know, the detective that would interrogate people.
Columbo. All right, well, now, you know, that's my final choice for the Dependable. Sonny Chiba, God bless you. Going to you for your final selection.
Okay, my final selection, he's royalty when it comes to Eurocrime and spaghetti westerns,
yeah,
but really didn't make it into the American market, and I think deserves a place because of one film that Canon put out, and I'll get to that. The man, the myth, the legend, Franco Nero.
Franco, yeah.
He's almost A-list. He's married to Vanessa Redgrave,
yes,
so he's touching the A-list.
Touching it.
He was in the Django films. He is Django to most people.
And he had a small part in the remake there.
Oh, okay.
Where they kind of touched upon the first movie.
And he was in probably my favorite spaghetti western, which was, of course, Massacre Time, which was made by Lucio Fulci, where he played a guy that came back to town and found that his drunk-ass brother, played by George Hilton, had submitted to this evil rancher that had taken the family land.
Oh, yeah.
And Franco Nero had to lay down the smack, but first he went through some humiliation and some fighting, And really kind of a poetic and violent ending, which you would expect with Lucio Fulci. But what we want to talk about is the bad and the ugly here.
Yes.
That's what gets you into the Dependables, is the B-list.
And we're not talking about his role as Space Jesus in The Visitor. So.
I forgot about that.
Yes, we're going to talk about...
Oh, that was awesome. We need a whole podcast.
We'll do an
devoted
episode.
To the Ovidio Asantis film, The Visitors. Woo!
Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm talking about here is the canon film Enter the Ninja.
Yeah.
And just like Lorenzo Lamas hired to helm a dance film and couldn't dance, Franco Nero, now I've seen a lot of martial arts movies, and so but there are so many of them. I can't say that I'm an expert, but I can say that Enter the Ninja is the first one that I've ever seen where the lead character does not actually do martial arts. All of the stunt scenes are with the camera way back, Franco Nero whooping some ass, and then we're close up on the actual Franco Nero.
Right, and now I'd seen Richard Harrison movies, the Godfrey Ho ones, where, well, actually, they just filmed one movie, and then they cut it up to, like, 15 of them. So I was a little familiar with the white guy playing a ninja that didn't know any kind of ninja skills.
You gotta be
whatsoever.
Some kind of charismatic motherfucker to get hired to be the lead in a ninjutsu film and not know a lick of ninjutsu.
To be fair, he does throw like one of the sweetest drop kicks I have ever seen in my entire life.
Doesn't it come up to about knee level though?
No, no, he kicks him right in the head. He gets some air on that thing.
Okay, well, anyway, if you've been on YouTube and you've looked up bad movie scenes, you've probably seen the worst death scene ever filmed, where Christopher George gets a throwing star to the chest.
I actually uploaded that.
Gallic shrug, and then dies. And that's from Enter the Ninja.
Yes, it is. I have uploaded that. If you look up lack of air supply on YouTube, you'll be able to see that clip.
This is just a classic canon film. They're in the Philippines. There's a guy that looks like James Caan.
Yes, yeah.
Susan George is married to the faux James Caan.
Right.
You don't want to look directly at her, but she's nicely shaped.
I remember there's lots of cockfighting.
Oh, yeah, there's cockfighting.
Yeah.
And not between Nero and James Caan, but actual chickens.
Right. No penis sword play
going
on.
And there's a guy with a hook for a hand that's kind of trying to enforce that the Christopher George character, he totally would have made it onto the Dependables list if he wasn't dead, but we're trying to pick people that we could possibly have
they're
in a film.
They're still alive, yeah.
Christopher George plays this giant, rich toddler who has tantrums throughout the movie in his office, which is beside an indoor pool.
He wears a nice dashiki, though.
Yes, because he can't have the land that Susan George and the James Caan alike own. And Franco Nero is this guy's buddy from some war that wasn't Vietnam. I was surprised by it because usually these people come out of Vietnam.
I think
but
it was from Idaho.
They were in Africa somewhere fighting.
Yeah.
And this guy had saved Franco Nero's life. And so, oh, and I almost forgot that the other bad guy was Sho Kasugi.
Yeah.
And his eyeliner.
He almost made it onto the list. I kind of dropped him for Sonny Chiba.
I think if we do a bad guys list, he should definitely make it on there.
Yeah.
Just for his performance in this film.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to track down Into the Ninja for the love of all that is terrible.
It was directed
all that
by,
is canon.
It was directed by
Golan.
Minahan Golan.
Yes.
Yeah, so seek it out. There's your Dependable list. I want to thank everybody for listening and being patient. So it's my fault it took so long. Next time we come back, we're going to have another review of a movie or two.
I don't want this night to end.
I was going
to
play the Axel song, but that's...
Don't say goodbye.
She's much better singer than I am.
We have to say goodbye.
We have to say goodbye.
Just hold me close, my darling.